cliffcentral.com.
Well, hello, hello, hello. You know, if you hear those Tibetan singing bowls, it is time for Beyond Ears and Eyes here on Cliff Central. I'm Liesl Tom, our controller, Palesa Mabuye. Hi, Palesa.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
Great stuff. If you'd like to join us in our conversation, why don't you send us a WhatsApp to 079-748-2090. I read it and then I still get it wrong, Shemaine.
I know, because your head is somewhere else. Where's your head? You're like, you know, but sometimes, you know, dyslexia creeps in with age.
Don't joke about my dyslexia.
You go like, yo, what's that again? That's a 7. No, that's a 1.
You know, so. I sometimes write things down and then I still get them wrong. So, especially if they start with the same letter. So there's a slight sense of dyslexia.
What, did you not have spelling lessons at school? I grew up in a town when they had like spelling lessons as per how you should write neatly.
Yeah, we had those, but school was a long time ago.
Have to creep into your memory for a little bit there. So, Lee, today we're having an interesting conversation with our guest. Is going to be her name is Britta Stalling. Now, she gives Qigong classes to whomever. So we're gonna talk to her in just a minute. But have you ever tried to find out from people whether they know what Qigong is?
I've asked a few people and I got these blank stares. You know? And when you brought up the topic, I thought, okay, let me go ask Uncle Google, because I love living in this day and age. And the closest thing I am familiar with, I mean, I obviously read up a little bit, but the closest thing I am physically familiar with is years ago, after school, so I can still remember it, I did Tai Chi.
Uh-huh.
And I have to say, it was quite amazing how it centered one, how it calmed you.
Okay.
But, you know, Britta will obviously tell us more. And if there is a correlation.
Mm-hmm. And I think she's the right person to ask about this. So I think she'll definitely be able to help us out and find out, you know, the different forms and what came from whom and where and how it's applied and what for and so on and so on. So without much further ado, I think we do have Britta on the line. Britta?
Yes, you have me on the line. Hello.
Hi, Britta.
I almost had to laugh out very loud, but I didn't.
You're allowed to laugh out loud.
Yes, laugh out loud.
These faces with a blank look, I do know myself very well. So.
and it's so funny. Even yesterday, I was like, do you know what? And they were like, what? You know, and these were very educated people. So it's not like, you know, they're clueless. It's just Qigong somehow just hasn't made it into their sphere yet. But that's why you are here to tell
us. That's right. And thank you so much for inviting me today to have the chance to share and explore the possibilities, but also the beauty and power of Qigong. Share that from my own experiences and also from experiences of other people. So
you're more than welcome.
That.
You're more than welcome. So how would I introduce you? Because I said you're a teacher, but would I go and say that you're a master, or is it just a teacher?
Is it like a sensei, or what's your title?
Okay. I think, first of all, I'm a human being, uh-huh. like everybody else. Right. And I think I'm also a student, like everybody else. You know, I think most people really share the same intention of wanting to learn about life and why we are here and how we can improve our life, how can we support others, how can we be in service. I think the two of you also do this very profoundly and very inspiring with the amazing show you are creating and all these possibilities for people to learn and get new insights. And of course, I mean, I've studied Qigong now since over 10 years.
And so how some did you start?
Refer to me as a teacher. I actually, you know, I started by chance. And, you know, when I look back, it's really an amazing story because I moved to Cape Town in January 2012. 2005. And in November 2004, I took one day this Qinian Qigong workshop, which was organized in Germany. And I actually wanted to go there already since 2 years. Okay. But, you know, they were offering these workshops. But whenever they offered a workshop, I was actually engaged in delivering some trainings myself, because we were doing a coaching and leadership development training organization in Germany at that time. Mm-hmm. So there was just this one opening, this one Sunday in November, and literally 1 month later I was living here. And, you know, when I look back, what has developed since then, this is really in itself really like an amazing adventure and an amazing life story, which I could not have predicted when I was doing this workshop. Because I was like you, you know, mm-hmm. or the people you've been speaking to the last days.
Oh, no, you can say like me, and I'm not going to say Lisa, but yes, I fall within that group. I am totally in there. I'm not making any excuses. Yes. So, but before you go any further, you know, about the us normal mortals. So I want you to just, that Qigong that you are talking about, it's written with a Z-H-I-N-E-N-G.
Yes.
And you call it, say that again slowly.
So it's called Jinang Qigong.
Okay, great.
So this first G mm-hmm. stands actually for wisdom or intelligence, and I didn't know that at that time either, because for me it was just Qigong. But there are hundreds, let it not be thousands, of different Qigong forms, and uh-huh. the Jinan Qigong is a very particular one, because it was developed by Dr. Pang Ming, who for the first time brought Qigong more to the masses, more to really the people. Before, so it was like trained only by selected students, and sometimes even if you would meet a master, he would not even teach you. Mm-hmm. You would just maybe observe him or her, most cases him, and maybe then after 2 to 3 years they would be open to share more the wisdom or the secrets. Mm-hmm. But with Jinan Qigong, the name itself is program, because it shares the secrets about this very ancient but also very modern, you could maybe say, life philosophy about life, about health, about well-being, about how to live a good life and a long life. And the G stands for intelligence, wisdom. Mm-hmm. And also you could translate it as knowing the source. And then Nang means power or the ability to heal. Mm-hmm. And then Qigong, which is, you know, some people are familiar with it, and most people know what, or have an idea what Qi could mean. Mm-hmm. It's spelled either Qi or Chi, and that is normally translated as energy.
Okay.
But in Jinan Qigong, we go far beyond that. Dr. Pang Ming has really uplifted, or how do you say it, developed Qigong more into a science.
Okay.
And he is actually the first Qigong master who really has written many books about what he calls the hypothesis of the three level of substances, what everything in the universe is made of.
Okay.
And so Qi itself is not only energy. According to Jinan Qigong, it's also information and form. And I guess we will speak about that a little bit later, but just to give this information already now. Mm-hmm. And then Gong is where most people kind of stop to listen, or maybe even stop to do it. Gong actually means you practice. You know, uh-huh. you take these methods or tools or knowledge uh-huh. And really as a system, and you start to regularly practice it.
Uh-huh.
And if you do practice it, then you have many, many benefits. But that's like the name itself.
Okay. So this is this the one that the one that you're practicing and teaching, the Jinan Qigong? I'm saying it's so wrong.
Yes.
But hey.
No, it's completely right. I think you say it even better than me. So that's very good.
is that the one that would fall into the medical Qigong?
Yes. Exactly. Because, you know, this kind of Qigong is a very holistic one. The name itself, you know, if you would put it into one English sentence, mm-hmm. then you could say that Jinan Qigong means, by regular practice, you are activating the full human potential by using these three level of substances, energy, form, and information, mm-hmm. to improve your own life and to, you know, activate the self-healing abilities of your body. If you're healthy, you keep your body healthy, but also you are developing your own potential in a way that you can really live your own life to your maximum of potential in a happy way, in a fulfilled way, in a meaningful way. I think more and more people are awakening, you know, to the intention of living a meaningful life. And Qigong is actually a tool you can use, you know, to really live a life of leadership, of power, of happiness, of joy, of nourishment, of well-being, you know, inner peace. Also, a lot of people now, with all the turbulence happening around the world, looking, or South Africa, I mean, we don't need to look beyond the country's borders, but, you know, everywhere, all over the place, everywhere. Actually, because I'm traveling around the world. That's really interesting. No matter where you're in Mexico, or you're in Europe, or you're in America, or you're in different countries in Africa, or in Asia, what people are united with is the longing for inner peace. They want happiness for their families, you know, first of all, family. And also Qinen Qigong is focusing on really uplifting the what we call the qi field, the energy and information field within the families. Everybody's happy when you're a parent, that the children are doing well. So it's happiness, it's health, it's families doing well.
And that's what that truly is what we all want. We want wellness, holistic wellness. And that's why I think it's great that this information is out there, because I read somewhere that when I looked up this, obviously because I'm such a, you know, a novice at this, I read one of the descriptions for qi was life force energy that animates the organs, you know, so I don't know, maybe you can even go in on that a little bit later. And then it also says it's kind of like it's a three-folded thing, where you have a balanced lifestyle that adheres to the laws of nature, which comes a bit from, because apparently this has also got a bit of Taoism to it.
Yes.
Britta, before you answer, Shimin, you know what I read, which I found quite interesting, is that qi is almost like, because it's the energy around us, it's almost like the water for a fish. As fish aren't aware that they are actually in water, we aren't aware of this energy around us. Is that true,
Britta?
That's
beautiful. I love the way you just said that.
It is certainly true, you know, in terms of that, for most people focusing on the physical matter most, you know, that they look for something concrete which they can touch, like this is more important in their life, to have a house, a car, have the job, you know, to something tangible. I would say that in terms of experiencing information or energy, people are more and more aware. And this can be like a simple thing, like you're going some places where you suddenly feel not comfortable anymore. So then maybe it stops that people don't really wonder, so why am I not feeling comfortable? What is it about this place? And maybe the information is in that place that there has been an accident, or there has been some kind of traumatic experience happening, and it is only revealed, you know, after some investigation of that person, if the awareness is there. So I think, you know, energy and information, it's more about the way I'm learning it and studying it. It is more about being aware and starting to master also our consciousness, not only the physical world and physical focus. If we look at the three level of substances, we have three. So if we are only focusing on the material things, we are losing actually a very important aspect of our life, which is, you know, energy and information.
You know,
so it's more awareness, I think,
of that. You know, when she said it, this is what I got from it. So that the fish is unaware and we're in it. So what's actually, for me, what's happening is we're becoming aware. And I didn't equate it to physicality or something physical. I thought of it more as in I'm becoming aware, you know. So the difference for me now between the fish and the water is that my consciousness has been raised in, so that I have a sense of, I know where I can tap into. Do you know what I mean? So,
yes.
which also for me, together with that analogy of you being to a place and suddenly you feel not so good being there. So because that's you've become sensitized. That or you become
exactly
that actually so for me this is why this is so incredible, because there's an awareness that's going to go out for some people and go like, oh, Qigong, I can use Qigong to enhance my life, and then they're going to do it, you know. So getting that substantial inner spiritual motivation to just, you know, enhance and bring that beautiful that you say the world wants.
What I found quite interesting about your answer is that you called the sense that we all have this just sixth sense that, you know, I'm not feeling too comfortable here. You call that information, and when I thought about it, it is actually information. But how is it then coded into the environment that we can sense it?
So this is actually developed through practice. For example, if you practice Qigong or any other, you know, Qigong is actually the most advanced, but there are probably also other awareness methodologies, or people can suddenly also awake, you know, by maybe a traumatic experience or something, and suddenly they are very much aware of what is really true or what is really happening. But Dr. Pang has developed a theory where he also points out that as babies, we are already born with this kind of awareness, because human beings are distinguishing themselves from animals through this kind of consciousness. And he calls it the mind oneness entity. And if we look at babies, for example, babies, you know, why are older people or human beings, when they're a bit older, always so excited when they see babies? Because it's reminding us of our own potential when we were in that age. Wow. And babies are just pure. They are just this pure consciousness. They are connected with everything. Everything is in unity. They are aware of the energy around them, and they actually literally see everything in energy and information. They don't have this concept yet of, you know, this is a table. When I grab it, it's a table. For them, it's energy and information. And I think in that way, we are just reminded. It's a little bit like an awakening process. Uh-huh. We could also use another metaphor. You were talking about the fish and the water. We could actually say that our consciousness, if we imagine our consciousness as this glass of water, uh-huh, and we put a drop of ink into it, then the ink starts to make this water blurry, and it has starts to get a color, and it's not as pure, and it's not even anymore. Mm. It's distorted. It's kind of it's not clear and transparent. Uh-huh. Right?
That's before you stir it.
Sorry?
That's before you stir it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So now we can actually say that this ink represents all the concepts we are starting to learn as a small child, as a grown-up, in order to function in society. You know, we get to learn what is what we're able to do and what not. So there are a lot of what we call in Qigong frame of references starting to frame us. And we are losing this ability to be this pure consciousness, this pure awareness. And then as adults, we start to relearn it, to reignite to it. Mm-hmm. And Qigong is really, to me, you know, I've come to this very coincidentally because a friend of mine was recommending it to me. I just followed her recommendation. She said it's beautiful because it's matching our leadership and coaching organizations' ideas to, you know, to live your life from personal leadership. And Qigong is like an integrative factor of that. But I had no knowledge about like medical possibilities or healing possibilities, or, you know, what actually it could, you know, the benefits it could create in my life. I had no idea. So, and even after this one day workshop I did in Germany at that time, one of the teachers actually waved me goodbye because I was sharing that I was moving to South Africa. Mm. And then she said, "Oh, Britta, one day you bring Qigong to South Africa."
And you thought madness.
Inside of me, I looked at her and I got like, inside of me, I was too shy to actually mention it at that time. But at that time, I was thinking, I don't know if I'm going to practice this when I'm there. I have no idea, you know. So to my surprise, this approach is so simple and so effective, mm-hmm. exactly like Dr. Pang Min wanted to develop it, because he is a doctor in Chinese medicine mm-hmm. and Western medicine. He was always driven by the vision to create a Qigong form, which is easy to learn, highly effective, can be really practiced by many people around the world.
Uh-huh. Anybody.
On China, anybody can do it.
Young and old.
Yes, and it's not this, you know, Qigong master to student, this very, how do you say that in English, elitary, very strict, secret, you know. It was he was over with secrets. He wanted to really share the secrets of this powerful tool with people in the world. So
yeah. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because apparently at one point Qigong was for, you know, for the wealthy or the martial artists, and regular people weren't privy to this. But that's like what, 5,000 years ago? When did it
exactly.
come out?
Exactly. Yes. So it started more or less 5,000 years ago. It's a pillar of the traditional Chinese medicine, but it was very strict the way, you know, they would pass this mm-hmm. knowledge on, and also many students were not taught in an open way. And Dr. Pang really broke with all this conditioned, very conservative way of seeing it. And he really made it available for everybody who wanted to learn it.
It's incredible how the world has changed. Before, you had to pay your dues in years before you got anything from anyone. Now information is so easily and readily accessible. It's almost like people are saying, you must have it. I can't hold on anymore. So that's brilliant that for us now in this new modern day and age, we are able to benefit by or from it. So the other thing also, before we go further, because I mean, we're going to need to still figure out all the aspects that Qigong can influence you, you know, emotionally, physically, and you know, all that. But can you maybe just explain to us what the difference is between the Qigong and then the Tai Chi, and then yoga also falls in there? Would you mind talking to us about those three and, you know, and their approaches and what's different or not?
Yes, with pleasure. So Dr. Pang Min himself, he actually practiced Tai Chi and Qigong at a very, very early age. So often Tai Chi and Qigong go together. So mm-hmm. when you visit a Tai Chi class, generally the Tai Chi teacher would start with some Qigong movements, some Qigong exercises. So it's quite interlinked. Because we are working with the life force energy, we are working with the Qi, which flows through our meridians. I think most of the people who are listening to this talk today know about the traditional Chinese medicine, and that they work with another system next to the lymphatic system, mm-hmm. blood and nervous system. They have a system of energy channels, and Tai Chi also works with that. So there are a lot of similarities, mm-hmm. but the main distinction, maybe the way I could quickly describe it, is that Qigong is easier than Tai Chi. Oh. Tai Chi, you often have to learn like a set of sequences and movements are going throughout the space you are in. You're occupying a room, and you walk through this room performing these different movements. And Qigong, you can practice standing, sitting, even laying down with only with your consciousness. Hmm. And then Qigong,
To explain that. Wait, before you go further, with your consciousness. What do you mean by that? That you
can is this like doing Tai Chi in your mind?
Yeah, it's doing actually the purpose of Qigong is that you're practicing body-mind harmony combination. So you're using physical movements combined with visualizations and meditations, and sometimes also sound healing. And if you, for example, imagine, you know, and that happened in China with some cases, people couldn't move. So they were either in the wheelchair or even laying in bed. So what happened there is that they were taught this set of exercises and the purpose and the meditation, and they started to just meditate in their mind. And I personally have practiced that myself too. I really did only the Qinan Qigong exercises with my mind only, and I had the same benefits and the same impact on my physical body.
That sounds
and with
like-
these cases in China, I've been hearing stories about people who actually were paralyzed, mm-hmm. and after a few months of practicing only with their mind, they could start using their body again. And we know this from the West. Maybe a very famous example is Dr. Joe Dispenza. I think many people know about him. He was
Tell
paralyzed.
Us a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Dr. Joe Dispenza, he was a chiropractor. He is an American, and he did he was participating in a triathlon. He had a very bad accident. He was paralyzed, and he only healed himself by his mind. And he has written many books about it. One very famous one, which is actually really related to Qigong, is called You Are the Placebo, or The Placebo. I can really recommend it to any listener to really grab this book. It's available in South Africa. Also, I think Dr. Joe Dispenza comes sometimes to South Africa for workshops and talks. But actually, Dr. Joe Dispenza practiced Qigong without naming it Qigong, because according to his knowledge, until that stage, he knew that if he didn't agree to an operation, the doctors wanted to have an operation on him, he said no to it. He actually went home to be with a friend took care of him, and he practiced 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the afternoon, focusing on his physical body, focusing on a healthy spine. His spine was completely smashed, so focusing on all the bones to rearrange. So this is part of the consciousness work we have in Qigong. So he applied actually the consciousness work of Qigong, and then after a few months he could walk again, and now he's sharing his story around the world. So yeah, so not only people in Asia have been using Qigong, you know, for their own healing, also people in the West have done it either unconsciously or now when they, of course, consciously practice Qigong. We have, maybe just to finish that one thing, we have a person in Germany. He was in our workshops 2 years ago. He was suffering from multiple sclerosis, which is, according to the Western medicine, not curable. He was diagnosed many years ago. He was already very advanced in his status. Uh-huh. Normally, the doctors say on a scale 0 to 10, you measure multiple sclerosis. 0, you don't have it. 10, you've died of it. He was already at 7.7. So organs started to give him some problems, and he really was in a bad, bad shape. He also had a scientific mind. So he did not come to our Qigong workshop by his own, his wife actually little bit pushed him to do it. Mm-hmm. But sometimes this can be a big blessing if somebody cares enough about you, because what happened
to do
is
that, yeah.
he really started to feel the qi. He started to heal literally in this 5 days workshop. Some symptoms already started to disappear, among them his chronic fatigue syndrome. He started to finally sleep normally again, etc. So now, and then after he continued to practice on his own, that is where most of the people get challenges, you know, to really do this practice on your own at home. Uh-huh. But Andreas was actually so convinced, because he experienced the improvements already in these 5 days, that he only with his scientific mind, he said, okay, if I already got so much improvement in 5 days, what happens if I practice 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours per day? Mm-hmm. And he did it as a scientific project on himself. And by that actually is also following the idea of Qigong, because we are saying that Qigong is a approach or a system where you start to explore yourself, you explore your own body, you explore your self-healing abilities, you explore your life, you are more aware of what is important to you, and you are more standing in, you know, for your needs. And this is the purpose of Qigong, to really be very selfish. That is in the West. Many people have problems with that, you know, to just with this alone, to know their own needs and then also to fulfill them. Many people have a problem with that. But also, to cut the story short, Andreas is now healthy. And in Germany, awesome. He travels around the country to help people suffering from MS to, you know, start this healing journey for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Britta, these are there specific movements and poses that you are taught to do physically, and then should you not be able to do them physically, to visualize them in your mind's eye?
Yes. Yes, exactly. So it is a set of movements. And for example, for the core exercise, which we call lift you up, put you down, it's a 20-minute...
Say that again. Lift you up, put you down.
Yes, exactly. That's like the name of this one method people practice around the world. Uh-huh. When you practice Qigong, Qigong, and I think there are more than 11 million people, even 15 million people maybe in the meantime, because, you know, there's probably not an accurate figure at this moment, but it's really spreading in Europe, in America, day by day, more and more people practice it. Uh-huh. And the lift you up, put you down method, it's called level one of Qigong, Qigong, and you can learn it in a one-day workshop like I did in Germany many years ago. And then with a CD or a DVD or a YouTube video, you then continue to practice at home. And it's 20 minutes. If you practice the shorter version, you can also practice for half an hour or 45 minutes. But with 20 minutes, you can really improve many things in your life. And this is how many people start, just with this one exercise. And then they continue to practice. And day by day, they start feeling the benefits.
Well, Britta, you said this lift you up, put you down is a core exercise. Are you telling me that if I lie in front of the TV and I think about doing, you know, some kind of core exercise, whether it be thinking of crunches or, you know, picking things up and putting it down, that I will actually develop a six pack?
You know, you would, of course, shut off the TV. So that's what you wouldn't do.
No, but
because
can
you need the whole consciousness. But if you, like Andreas, for example, he told us afterwards, you know, during his recovery process, he would practice as much as he can. And sometimes he was on the road, you know, doing some things, and then he would feel the symptoms come back. Hmm. And then he would stop whatever he would do, and he would sit down because he would not maybe feel comfortable to practice in a public space. So he would just sit down, close his eyes, goes inward, and does it as in meditation. But I think there are also scientific proof of, I think in sports, especially in sports medicine, they have done it. You know, they have, for example, put a marathon runner on those instruments and all the devices to measure his physical reactions if he would just visualize, you know, running high speed his marathon. And they could then measure the muscles moving or started to sweat. So the body is reacting on what we are consciously, where we put our conscious to. That's maybe the best way to put it.
I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because, you know, as you know, we get discouraged, and a lot of people go like, yeah, okay, I had symptoms of getting better, but, you know, it must have been a fluke. But I mean, for you to put it in perspective, it's like, okay, so now you saw that it can work, just go back and build on it again and build on it again, and, you know, until ultimately you get your full success. So it sounds almost like visualization on steroids, for lack of a better word.
I don't know now the meaning of steroids. I'm sorry.
Steroids is that
performance enhancers.
Okay. Yes, I mean, yes, you are actually, you know, you're becoming your own performance enhancer. You know, a lot of people, especially in Europe, not so much about South Africa, but in Europe, a lot of people are starting to become ill because they don't have enough energy, and they have this name for it. They call it burnout. You know, they're working too hard. They have too much stress in their whole life, and too little relaxation and too little balance, you know, in terms of inner peace. And especially in big organizations, there's a lot of demands and causing this burnout. meaning that you're lacking, you know, life force energy for yourself and the balance, you know, to put things into perspective and to have the balance between being active and vital and holistically, you know, enjoying the full potential of your life. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, also when you have time off, you are really in inner peace. I mean, most of the people then continue to worry or continue to think of work or writing some emails in the evenings or thinking about concepts. So many people have stopped, you know, really knowing and understanding what relaxation means.
But we are
and
taught that we must.
Something what Qigong is actually promoting. Okay. Qigong is promoting being more relaxed.
Mm. You know, we are taught that we must be busy, busy, busy. And if we're not busy, 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 we will not achieve anything ever. And you know, it's something that we teach our kids from way back when. I mean, it's something we were taught. We were taught that if you don't do something, you're obsolete. You're nothing. Do you know what I mean? So there's something that drives you that goes like, but if I just sit down and gather some strength and do so-called nothing, you know, for half an hour, then it's wrong. I mean, the only time we give ourselves that privilege is when we sleep, and then we're not even at peace because our mind still goes, you know, like,
yes,
I dreamt of doing this interview last night. I'm like, why?
Oh, nice.
I think it was stress. I'm like, Qigong? Okay. Really? You want to talk about Qigong? You know nothing about Qigong? Are you mad? So it was, you know what I'm saying? So it was a stressful situation.
Yes, you know, the good thing actually about Qigong is that you have a meditative way of moving your body. So in that way, people who are listening now and who think, okay, I can't allow to sit down half an hour and do nothing, they can keep their body active, but at the same time, they train their mind to be more quiet and to go more inside. Mm. And if you practice, like, let's say half an hour a day, you will also find that the sleep quality improves, that really when you're sleeping, you're sleeping.
Can you do it for 5 minutes?
That way also your body is recovering, because sleep is something very positive and good. We need it so that our body functions recover. You're completely right. If our mind is too busy, mm-hmm, then the sleep quality is actually not good enough. So it's all related, yes.
A lot of people say, I can't even take 10 minutes to meditate. And now you are saying 20 minutes. So how do you work yourself up to those 20 minutes, you know, from 2 minutes?
I had exactly the same thought a few years ago, you know, with the CD and my suitcase packed. And then I come to Cape Town and we were actually starting a new company. And you can imagine, you come to a new country. Mm-hmm. You're starting a new organization. You have new colleagues, a new business model. My husband and I, everything was new. But to my astonishment, something happened inside of me that I did practice, maybe not every day at that time, maybe it was 4 times a week or 5 times a week, but you just put the CD into your recorder and you start, you know, doing it.
Do you know what I'm thinking now?
You're building up a new feeling for yourself, mm-hmm, a new body awareness. It was also very astonishing to me, and that actually made me start becoming and wanting a teacher, because when I was here in January 2005 with my new colleagues and I started to practice on my own very secretly because nobody knew it here, uh-huh, I couldn't share it with anybody. But then maybe 2 months later, these new colleagues approached me and said, Britta, something's changed. What is it? You're more relaxed. You're, you know, more peaceful. You seem to have more fun, because obviously, you know, a lot of stress when you start new things, a new adventure. Mm-hmm. And this kind of feedback really made me also become more aware of, oh yes, there's something hidden. There's like a hidden gem in this very simple tool. And then I started on a teacher's training in Germany, but also in China. Uh-huh. It took me 2 years, you know, to complete the whole training. But yeah, it's then naturally. It's a little bit like brushing your teeth, you know. Once you get a taste of it and you feel your life is improving and your energy level is higher and the results in your lives are better, the whole, you know, in my family there's much more harmony, I'm more living my life purpose now, I'm living really a meaningful life, which I couldn't say 10 years ago. I was really doing great, no worries. I mean, I had a great job and things like that, but I didn't feel I really nailed it to yet to really living my life purpose. And then year by year by year, through the practice of Qigong, I came closer. You know, I suddenly felt there's more to my life. So what could it be? And then it was unfolding itself. That's also the beauty about Qinheng Qigong, as I mentioned earlier. Qi means intelligence, wisdom, your full potential. You know, this is also by practice then unfolding. So in that way, it becomes more a lifestyle, more a way of living than a meditative series of meditative movements. But to be honest, I was several years ago the same. You know, I thought, what is this going to bring in my life? Mm. But eventually it unfolds.
Britta, yeah. I can sort of see the benefits to your health if you de-stress, if you're not holding on to all the residues of the day. But would Qigong be able to help you get rid of something like cancer or an autoimmune disease?
Yes, it does. Of course, what is really needed is a person who is open to explore this as a possibility. And this is often a challenge because in the Western medicine, if you're diagnosed with these kind of illnesses, then there's a whole system of information where people are then often confused, or, you know, there's a lot of fear, of course, and there are, you know, medical treatments recommended then by Western medicine where, you know, it's a challenge. You know, when we have people, I know personally people who have overcome cancer by practicing Qinheng Qigong. It is not always an easy journey because, you know, some people really took a sabbatical and practice for month after month, maybe even going to China to really withdraw from the information which is in their family, you know, information of fear or concern, or the doctors clearly say, you know, look, this is the treatment we are suggesting and we are strongly recommending you're going this path. So the potential of getting completely healthy through Qinheng Qigong, suffering from these kind of illnesses, is there. But it's a case-by-case situation where the person really needs to go inside, whether, you know, to open up to this possibility, just like Dr. Joe Dispenza, you know, being able to walk again, just working with his consciousness, and to really also then practice, because that is often the case. I know quite a few people who are suffering from cancer. They have been exposed to Qinheng Qigong, but they have not the willpower to practice 3, 4, 5. Maybe even 7 or 8 hours a day.
Or the patience. I mean, in Western allopathic medicine, we want to see results soon. This sounds to me, and tell me where I'm wrong, that it could take months, if not years.
It is so different from person to person. You know, there are people who have been getting rid of a tumor or a cyst within a few days. Others, it takes a few months or a year or even 2 to 3 years. Personally, I'm also accompanying some people in Germany who are practicing Qinheng Qigong regularly to get rid of Parkinson's symptoms. And we have great results there. But I can say that these people are really diligently practicing every day, and they are really challenging themselves. They are challenging frame of references, belief system, habits. I mean, also with any kind of illness, I think it's always an invitation to look into your life, you know, on not only on the physical level, what else is happening in my life. And you mentioned earlier a balanced relationship. You found that somewhere in a book about Qigong, you know, balanced relationships to oneself, to another, to nature, to be in harmony. Mm-hmm. Actually, with an illness, any kind of illness, it's a disharmony in the own body, but also often a disharmony to people or to nature. You know, people are too much separated from it, mm-hmm. and don't even have the awareness that there's something going wrong. And as soon as you create this awareness, we call that in genetic going also heart stones, you know, if there's anything in your life which is really not working well, we need to have an awareness and mm-hmm. really start to let these heart stones transform them, dissolve them. And often if, you know, the balance of relationships is coming into place again, then also the illness starts to disappear. So it is related.
So can one call Qigong preventative, a preventative type of system where, you know, you probably never have to go there?
Yes. You know, that is so true, and also is the core of Qigong. Qigong is one pillar of the traditional Chinese medicine. And in China, many, many years, hundreds of years ago, a doctor would only be paid if he or she was able to keep the patient healthy.
Alive. Okay.
If not,
and alive. What if the patient dies?
Yes.
Do they get the money back?
The intention of Qigong is, it's exactly that. And this is also my personal, you know, often I think, okay, I practice, I teach, I share this. Why am I doing this? Actually, a few years ago, I had a deep question about myself. That was when I was, you know, when I was drawn to my new, more purposeful way of living. Mm-hmm. But of course, also as a student, you have some doubts and you are really asking yourself, why do I practice? What is this for? But actually, I lost my father of cancer when I was 8 years old. And this, I think, has installed in me the dream and vision of a long and healthy life. Mm-hmm. I have not been in hospital. I'm now 52. I have never been in the hospital. So you can also say Qigong actually is really what we say in Qigong is that wherever the mind goes, the qi follows to flow. Mm-hmm. So my mind was always on this, okay, no suffering in a hospital, no mm-hmm. illness, no cancer. Mm-hmm. I want to be healthy, happy, long life. Mm-hmm. And by chance, I found Jinan Qigong, which is now the tool who supports me in doing that since over 10 years. And I'm confirmed on my pathway of many people starting to heal, including my mother, who was very ill. So that's like the second family member, you know, where my life intention maybe is, you know, nourished, that I'm very clear. I use and practice every single day Jinan Qigong, because I want to prevent illness. That's very, very strong inside of me, because I just don't want to see myself suffering and being in a hospital and also have all this, you know, it's not only yourself then, you're also, as you're in relationship with others, there's then mm-hmm. suffering for your family members, for your friends. Yeah. And Dr. Pang clearly also says, it is possible for people to live a long and healthy life. Yeah. It's not needed to have an illness, actually.
And also the whole thing of when you, by the sounds of it, it sounds like you're actually present in your life if you cultivate these habits where you go,
yes.
Like, I'm not just running away from getting ill, but I'm available in my life for whoever
yes.
needs. So do you know what I mean?
And this mindfulness yeah. is something that everybody aspires to, but very few people manage to get it right, because you and I can be mindful for
3 seconds.
Yeah, I was going to say half a second, but let's be generous and say three, and then it's gone. So Britta, how long does it take to cultivate this mindfulness? Please
you know,
don't say 10 years.
No. It's much
desperation. How desperate it is that mm-hmm. you want something, isn't it?
It's actually really more a choice and an intention, and then use these tools and practice them every day, and you will immediately create some results. Immediately, you know, you will have this more sense of inner peace and also more joy. You know, I also speak with a lot of people who have. Who don't know anymore how to create a joyful life. Mm. You know, they are stuck in all this worries and concerns. And even if from their life, perspectives or environment, they could actually be joyful. They are not. They don't allow themselves to be joyful. So
isn't that a mindset as well? And isn't this the mindset that Qigong is trying to teach, that, you know, like you said, what you focus on grows? You know, what's that thing? But you know what I'm trying to say. I'm paraphrasing because that's the way that I know. But because also apparently your health, the lifestyle requires that the food also that you take into your body. You should also be conscious of what you put into your body.
Yes.
So, and I mean, we live extremely fast-paced lifestyles. I mean, I don't know, unless you make a conscious decision to eat specific things. And even now, the science is so scatty that you don't know whether you're eating the right thing. So how do you know whether you're incorporating the right things into your diet to live a cleaner life?
Yes, so you're completely right. I think, you know, once you start this awareness journey, maybe we can call it also like that, you know, mm-hmm. you're rethinking about your mindsets and about your frame of references and what your habits are and the way you'd like to live every day, mm-hmm. your own life, then immediately you come also to this point, okay, what kind of food do I take in? And do I also take my time to eat, you know, mm-hmm. because that is also something, not only what you eat, but how you eat and what kind of information you send to the food. Like if you always tell yourself, oh, the food I'm eating is not good for me, it's not good for me, then you nourish that kind of information.
Oh, so you can actually go like, oh, pumpkin fritters every day, that's brilliant. I'm joking now, but there is a sense of guilt when you go, I'm trying to live right, but I'm smoking, I'm drinking, I'm eating burgers. I'm just saying the stuff that we normally, you know, moan about. So, but one can sit with that guilt and then go, I don't think I'm going to do Qigong because I don't think I'm going to get it right. I'm just going to fail. So what do you say to somebody who has failed before they started because they're looking at their situation and habits?
I would try to help this person to reconnect with what is really important in that life, what kind of life they really would like to live. Is there something, you know, in that current situation they are missing or they are dreaming of, but they are maybe too shy or don't see that it's possible to, you know, to create some changes. But, you know, go rather from what are you intending to live mm-hmm. for, and then step by step, you know, start maybe with a small exercise. Start with 10 minutes of practice. If you can't do 20 minutes, then do 10 minutes. There are of course ways to practice really like in shorter time, but really, you know, make some new choices. I think without the willingness to create a new choice, mm-hmm. Change will not happen. And the change can only happen within ourselves. I mean, we have many philosophers and many great people who have been saying it again and again, mm-hmm. among them Gandhi, I think, you know, who said, be the change you want to be seeing in the world, be it yourself. It comes back to that same essence again, you know, and again. That's the same with Qigong. You know, with Qigong, you need to be willing to look into your own life and create the change from inside, and then the methods and exercises can be a tool, but the mindset, you know, it's starting to change through awareness.
Yeah. Let's talk about exercise like that, the Qigong. We were going to talk about Tai Chi. We did not even get there. But let's talk about those kind of exercises versus the exercises that we know here as in like in Tusen Hakis, you know, inverted commas, as aerobics and, you know,
Shemaine doesn't get to gym often. I'm lying, her gym bag is lying right next to me.
Are you done now, Diesel? Have you had a good laugh about that? So what do we do? Can those two work together? You know, the Western type of exercising and now the Eastern type of exercising. And you know, how can they work together if at all possible? Because the one is like slow meditation, the other one is pounding the ground hard.
You know, it of course it does. You know, I personally am a member of Virgin Active. I go to gym regularly when I'm in South Africa, and I love my workout. So there is no substitute here. It's really like you integrate it into your current lifestyle, into your whatever you're doing. Even a lot of yoga teachers, you know, love Qigong because it is a supporting their yoga practice. It's supporting their teaching. A lot of other therapists who do, you know, who offer a certain therapy for their clients, they also like Qigong to use it for themselves, you know, to nourish their life force energy, to nourish their body, to uplift their energy, etc. So it's not a substitute. It's actually something you can use complementary.
Both are good for the body and the soul and the spirit, or however.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. So, which one? Where do you get your six pack from? Better.
What do you mean by six pack? The benefits, you mean, or
no? The look. The look. You know, the tight thighs, the six pack here on your stomach, your arms, which are looking good and toned. Which one gives you better and faster and longer lasting results?
You know, that's a really good question. You know, I've actually been out of the country for 7 weeks because I was sharing the Qineng Qigong Hunyuan Qi therapy program with people around the world. When I came back and I had my first workout that was happening on Sunday, I didn't, and I couldn't practice while I was traveling. There was no, gym or something where I could go to. But interesting enough, I kept my level. So by practicing Qigong, I kept my practice level. Okay. So I think, you know, the answer to your question is whatever your intention and whatever tool you're using, then it will work for you. With Qineng Qigong, of course, you don't need to go to a gym. You can also practice it at home. Mm-hmm. You can go into a park or into the beach, or you can practice silently with closed eyes sitting on a park bench. So in that way, it's a little bit more easier to practice it no matter where you are. And I would also say that the benefits of practicing Qigong goes beyond the fitness training at the gym because it's so holistic that also other areas in your life are going to, not only your physical body, but we spoke about relationships. Mm-hmm. We spoke about your authentic way of living. You know, who are you really?
And what about financially?
How would you like to express yourself?
What about financially? You
know, financially.
How can it also benefit you financially? Because that's a big one.
Yes. You know, my intention actually when I started the teachers program was to bring Qineng Qigong to South Africa because I realized when I was living here that many people can't afford a health insurance. Then what I didn't realize, though, is that many people don't know Qigong and they don't really want to practice on their own. So because my intention was, oh, in the future, they don't need, you know, health insurance because they just practice Qineng Qigong every day. They keep their health. Uh-huh. So financially, I think my mom, for example, she was very ill. She cost her medical bills were around 3,000 euro per year. Wow. When she was very ill. So that's maybe like, I don't know, 45,000 rand or 50,000 uh-huh. rand per year. Mm-hmm. So now she doesn't see a doctor. She doesn't have these bills anymore. She's completely healthy. She's 74. And she even started to teach Qineng Qigong. Oh. My very first Qigong workshop was not happening in South Africa, but it was happening in Germany because my mom healed herself through applying this simple exercise of 30 minutes a day. So financially, I personally use also Qineng Qigong holistically. So I'm, you know, focusing on abundance in my life because what we are saying is an abundant mindset also attracts abundance. If I'm operating from a mindset of scarcity, then also scarcity follows that mindset. So, and I also don't say that lighthearted because 2009, I had one of the biggest financial crises as apparently many people in that specific year. Yeah. It was really weird year for many people. So I don't say that lighthearted. Mm-hmm. I literally lost everything and I had to rebuild my life. But it also helped me to think about this, what you're just asking. What about, you know, financial? What about abundance? What about other areas in my life beyond the health?
I want to go on, but we have to go. We have to go. So people can read up on you on the bodyandmindfactory.com site, isn't it?
Yes.
Body and Mind Factory. Britta?
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you to Ximena and Lisa. It was really a pleasure and honor to speak to you today. And I love your energy. I love your intention, your vision for the world. And may you have many, many more great interviews and sessions and many, many more people following your work.
We're going to bring you back.
And get
thank you so much for that. from your lips to God's ears. From me, Liesl Tom. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye, Britta. And from me, Ximena Harris. Have a wonderful time. CliffCentral.com.